Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. More and more of us, not just here in Michigan, but across the nation, are traveling by train and turning to Amtrak. Its trains carried 31.2 million passengers in its fiscal year that ended last September. Here in Michigan, a record-setting 793,000 of us traveled on Amtrak's three routes, bringing in all-time high revenues of $27.8 million here in Michigan. Just what's behind our growing affection for the train? Odit Tomer is a researcher with the Brookings Institution. That's a Washington-based think tank, and he joins us now from Washington. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you again. So what do you think, Adi, is behind Amtrak's strong performance, not just nationwide, but really, really here in Michigan?
Yeah, absolutely. We see really similar patterns in Michigan that we're seeing all across the country, which seems to be this quote-unquote renaissance of returning to passenger rail. After so many decades of increasing car ownership, car driving levels, we've seen driving levels starting to table. Domestic aviation even has really started to flatline a little bit, especially since the Great Recession hit a few years ago. But counter to that, passenger rail, after some maybe tumultuous times, you could say,
yes,
through the 70s and 80s, has really started a massive rebound. And it's, again, seen, just as you noted in your introduction, both in Michigan, other states in the Midwest, and especially along the coast, both California, the Pacific Northwest, and then, of course, in the kind of classic Amtrak corridor between Boston and D.C. And behind those patterns is really, to us, a really changing tastes for travel. You know, almost everyone loves riding the train. It's just a question of time. And Amtrak and its statewide partners like Michigan have really done a good job, especially since the Stimulus Act and all the money that's been kind of shoveled across the country to really upgrade services. And what was seen as just maybe a pleasurable form of travel is really now becoming a competitive form of travel. And we're seeing that in both the ridership statistics as well as the revenues that are coming into the company.
So, Adi, are we looking at gas prices, too much construction on the roads, flying is the friendly skies or anything but? Is it because people are choosing not to use other forms of transportation versus wanting to take the train?
Yeah, we think it's a little bit of all of the above. You know, just some statistics got released this week that households are spending now on average about $3,000 a year on just gasoline. And that doesn't even include, of course, other associated vehicle costs like insurance, of course, the purchase price. And then roads also actually released just this week is updated congestion stats. And metros all over the country are facing pretty serious vehicle congestion. The airlines, as you mentioned, maybe the unfriendly skies, if you will, especially
yes,
if you're not flying too far, really seems like a headache all of a sudden to go to the airport, wait through those security lines, no matter what your feelings are on a personal level for security. It simply takes a while now. It's certainly not like what it was pre-9/11. The trains, though, are really, if anything, have actually seen an improvement. More investment, especially from Amtrak and what they call their rolling stock, or the trains that actually you get a chance to ride in. And also trains can, in some ways, leverage that experience from those other modes. So as the highways are congested, it's kind of nice, especially here in the Northeast where I am. You kind of see those cars piled up as your train's zooming by, and it's kind of a good feeling.
Feeling a little smug?
Yeah, exactly. And same thing for aviation, too, right? You know that you go to the train stations, it's smooth and easy to get in and on in the train. And, of course, especially for Michigan's main corridor connecting Detroit, metropolitan Detroit, so stations all across the metro area to metropolitan Chicago, there's certainly advantage of, instead of having to be all the way out at O'Hare or even at Midway, it drops you off right down in downtown Chicago. And what could be easier to do your business or even go to museums or what families might be doing too. So it's really an all-of-the-above situation that really seems to be tilting the deck towards intermetropolitan train service.
We're speaking about the increasing effect toward rail travel with Adi Tomer, who's a researcher with the Brookings Institution. I do want to kind of drill down a little more on this Detroit to Chicago route. I'm quite familiar with it, having loved ones in Chicago and people I know back and forth going to Chicago. And I will say, I don't think anyone that I know personally has taken it, the train, and this was, I'm going to say, over the last 5 years, that hasn't come away saying never again. So it's interesting because it took so long. Or when my daughter took the train to Niles over the summer, the computer on the train broke down and it stopped in the middle of a field in the middle of the night. So it was a less than marvelous experience. But it seems that when I look at these growing ridership rates, obviously maybe we were unlucky. I don't know. Or have they made improvements in speed and in accuracy that have helped along?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I think the occurrence that's more common for Americans is kind of that element of getting stuck on the runway in a plane, right? Or just endlessly sitting at the gate, going up to the counter, and the agents, as much as they're trying to be helpful, cannot tell you when you'll take off. And Amtrak, as you just mentioned with your daughter, they have those kind of experiences all across the country, trains getting stuck in the middle of the night, especially those long-distance routes where they have to run on freight rails, and you might get stuck in the middle of Montana on a multi-day journey from Seattle to Chicago. And that's really tough, and you feel really helpless, right? That's kind of one of the advantages of the cars. If you're stuck in a traffic jam, at least you feel like you're in control. You can kind of move things. And it's something that both airlines and Amtrak has to battle with. In general, we've seen that Amtrak's on-time performance has been improving dramatically. And it's especially good on those short-haul corridors, of which Michigan, and that's the primary kind of modes that it benefits from.
Right.
The biggest thing that I would kind of say in response, though, is that Amtrak they've heard your complaints, and they've tried to implement new solutions. So what we've seen is that since the Stimulus Act, plus some extra money that came through a couple more appropriations until Congress stopped, they've dedicated an enormous sum, about $400 million, just to the Detroit-Chicago corridor. They bought new tracks, so now everything from Kalamazoo to Dearborn is under Amtrak's control, and the bit that already stretched from Kalamazoo to Chicago was essentially under Amtrak's control to start. And that will allow them to not only install more upgrades, but that exclusive kind of right-of-way for them, or at least the ability to control the tracks more so than the freight rail firm, so kind of flip the table a little bit, will really help these trains run much faster. And our experience, not just here in the United States, but this is a great place to look abroad and beyond our shores, is that if you can get trains running quickly, not just necessarily those really, really high speeds like in Japan or France, but even 110 miles an hour. I mean, I don't know about you, some drivers can go that fast, but there's no way I can maintain those speeds on the interstate. And if we can hit things like 110, which they're planning on between Chicago and Detroit, lower those travel times to something that's certainly faster than driving, even with all the station stops, that's going to generate more and more ridership. That's what we've seen in the Northeast Corridor. They hit some high speeds over in California and have much more frequent departures, which also makes it more competitive and attractive. They've seen big ridership boosts. We would expect that you would see the same between Detroit and Chicago, especially with such a short distance and, frankly, metropolitan areas that share so much in common historically, too. So there's really strong kind of business and family relationships, as you already alluded to. Adding that kind of boosted train service can really help bring more people to the service.
And then that just becomes, the more ridership, then the more they can make improvement. So it just becomes self-generating.
Yeah, that's right. Virtuous cycle for sure.
What about other routes? Would that help? And is there a sense that that's on the table in Michigan where there would be just more access because of more routes? We've got the three big ones now, but what do you think Amtrak could do there?
Well, one of the fun things about transportation, right, is kind of plotting new infrastructure investments or new routes in this case, right, all over the map. Everyone likes to think about it, right, or a new highway somewhere. You know, our understanding so far, from our conversations, we have a really big Amtrak paper that's coming out in a couple of weeks, so that'll have a lot of these detailed statistics I'm talking about today. But from talking to them, there's really not any new plans on the books. As some news that was going around last week, just in the state of Michigan, is that I believe it's the House Speaker was not feeling great about the new money that Michigan's going to have to kick into those routes, about $20 million. So functions like that seem to be probably putting the brakes on new routes coming in and out of the state. But because so much good work is going on between Chicago and Detroit, really there's actually the plans are already to improve service from what you see today. So really things are going to get better. Moving forward, it's kind of as you just, we were just speaking about, there's a really nice virtuous cycle to all this. So if more people start taking the Wolverine or the Blue Water, all of a sudden, they might start looking, especially at the state level, well, what would it mean to connect more frequently to, let's say, Toledo and Cleveland on the other side of the lake? Would that attract more ridership? And the better that Amtrak does on the books, the more that Michigan sees that its investments in these routes is paying off in terms of either expanded economic activity or even just really good word from citizens, up to their elected officials, the more likely they will be to invest in those routes. But we definitely want to, speak clearly. No new routes are probably proposed for the near future, but you will see dramatic improvements in the Wolverine once Amtrak and its state partners in Michigan are done with their work.
Adi, what is Amtrak doing with respect to just the amenities within the train cars? Have there been improvements? If somebody has not ridden the train in 5 or 6 years because they had one of those, I don't think so, again, experiences, would they see improvements?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, there's always the element that I think sometimes maybe forget, and I say this as a taller person, is that the legroom is always better on Amtrak. I almost feel like I'm a commercial here for Amtrak, but there's just nothing like a train seat. I mean, it's in many ways not necessarily the smoothest ride, but you're certainly not going to have the potential of turbulence. And the legroom is just fantastic. They tend to have power outlets now. I'm not sure if the trains that the rolling stock that's in Michigan tends to have that. But the biggest thing we've seen, and I don't know if this is on the plans for the Wolverine, but one would expect, especially if they're investing in new trains, is Wi-Fi access, which is really nice, especially for those who might be traveling for business between Detroit and Chicago. Really allows them to stretch out their business day, you know, which is certainly not something you're capable of when driving. So in general, the trains, by making the investment in the tracks, will certainly run smoother. And then with the potential for Wi-Fi and other amenities, it's definitely something that can be a more pleasurable activity, certainly versus driving. And these days, frankly, different and better than aviation, too.
Well, we've often said, just to get from the Metro Detroit area to Chicago, why would you fly? By the time you get to the airport, if you're checking anything in, getting there in plenty of time for the security check, you could drive there. You could drive yourself there and basically be the master of your destiny. Is the megabus mounting a serious challenge to the railways? Because they do have Wi-Fi. I've got kids who've ridden it back and forth to Chicago. Is that a serious contender, or is it just kind of a side player?
No, you're absolutely right. It is a major contender. And again, kind of that same change in kind of the next generation, Generation X and Y, they really seem to be showing an affinity. And we may have spoken about this a little bit last time about, you know, for denser living patterns in the city level. Also, how they prefer to travel, like you just mentioned. They want Wi-Fi access. They want a more affordable option, too. And Megabus and other players that certainly we have here, at least in the Northeast, I'm not sure exactly what's in the Midwest, but some run by Greyhound, others private companies, are doing incredibly well. In fact, just in your neck of the woods, DePaul University is kind of the main spot researching these inner-city bus modes, and it turns out that they are basically the single fastest-growing inner-city transportation mode in the country. Now, it helps when you start from a really low baseline, because no one was really seeming to take the bus or the Greyhound.
Right.
But the growth has been just dramatic. And as you mentioned, you know, folks, by the time you go to the airport, and then also with the airport you land in and get to the place where you're going, it takes so long. Driving's completely competitive from that kind of actual travel time standard. So if you are going to be using the roads versus the rails, at least the buses offer you that opportunity that we just talked about amenity-wise. They offer the Wi-Fi. You can even just be reading a book more casually versus being behind the wheel.
You can sleep.
And so there's certain advantages to it. And the price is competitive. As I just mentioned, gas prices are up. People are spending more and more of their household income. In the end of the day, it's going to be cheaper to actually take the megabus between the places.
So we have options. We do indeed. Well, we'll be watching as Amtrak looks ahead into 2013. And we'll certainly be checking in for further conversations with Adi Tomer, researcher with the Brookings Institution. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.